My name is William Freit. I'm 16 years old. Today is November 24th. November 24th. I'm with my mom, Lori Freit. And we're recording in San Diego, California. Say hi, mom.
Hello.
So I kind of wanted to ask about some of our Thanksgiving traditions, and I think I'll start with kind of like our biggest one. What's up with the possum king and queen?
Well, every other year we have a family reunion at Thanksgiving time, so that way it gives the off year chance for everybody to spend time with the other sides of the families. But we elect a possum king or queen.
So, how did that start?
It really started once when I was telling my brother about being at a formal event, opening of a theater at the Old Globe in San Diego, and seeing some of my friends and raising my arm over my head and like waving, and then I was like, I was kind of like the possum queen, kind of like Granny on Beverly Hillbillies. They used to have a possum queen, but you know, if you were like the queen, you're never supposed to raise your arm above shoulder level when you wave, and so we were making big jokes about that, and then he came up with possum royalty, and we had our first possum queen, which is with my late cousin Donna Thompson.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you guys decide? Because it seems like no one really knows whenever they're getting picked.
Right. My brother's just kind of taken that on for himself, and he looks for funny photos that might have been taken during the year that he can manipulate. And it's just a kind of a teasing game. Our family likes to play jokes and laugh and have fun, and so one time I think they took a beauty queen and photoshopped my elderly grandmother's face on it. She might have been in her late 80s or early 90s when that happened. So it was just, you know, her face on a bathing suit with a one of those beauty pageant banners
The
across her
sash.
chest. Yeah, the sash.
And how do they get to be every other year?
Yeah, again, just when you have it every year, then it seems like maybe the family drifts apart a little bit because you're pulled in other directions, especially as the next generation starts marrying and all.
I just mean like how did that start?
Every other year?
Yeah.
To kind of, I think probably that was part of my mom just making sure that she was sensitive to young married couples needing to spend time with the other side of their family, and so just doing it every other year kind of freed that up.
All right. We have some other family traditions. How did spoons get started?
Oh my goodness, I don't really even know. I know we played it when we were kids in the summer, just looking for things to do, and you know, the 70s when there wasn't really a lot to do in the summer, not a lot on TV or anything, and just always being told by your parents to go find something to do outside, and we would just sit around with neighborhood kids and sometimes play spoons, which is a game where kind of like musical chairs, where there's one less spoon than people playing, and so once you get four of a kind, you try to quietly take a spoon, and everybody that notices the spoon missing grabs one as well until someone's left without one, and then they get the letter starting with S and spelling their way out to spoon until they're out. An elimination game.
So, well, how did it end up being like a tournament we have?
Just you know, everybody's pretty interested in playing spoons, except it does get pretty
Yeah, blood sport.
it can be a blood sport, right? A little like the Hunger Games, you know, with fingernails and rings and things like that. So we usually try to make sure people's nails are trimmed and rings are off, and we've recently switched to rubber spoons from, you know, baby spoons.
Yeah. But there's also Skip-Bo.
get both pretty popular. We're, again, a family that just likes to play games, puzzles sometimes. Then also the field games that you haven't mentioned.
Yeah. How about those?
Yeah, so we, usually it's my two sisters that are in charge of coming up with some funny field games. Just like who can kick their shoe the furthest. Trying to think of some others that are outdoors. Sometimes we've had a hula hoop contest.
I got Nerf War that one year.
Oh, yeah, Nerf War. And then we, usually this one is more of an indoor game. We do the bag game where you take a paper sack and you can't use your hands and you have to pick it up with your teeth and you trim off a little bit of the bag over time until you're sometimes left with a postage stamp size.
Well, we started using how to use tape to finish it off.
That's true. They did do the tape last time, which, I couldn't seem to get a grip on that.
Yeah, that was tough. So that wasn't a childhood thing?
No. Also, this game started developing just as we were starting to do the family reunion, and that one started about 20 years ago, maybe about 25 years ago, every other year family reunion.
Yeah, I can never really remember, like, where our family came from, and I mean, there's some big family tree somewhere, but like, what are our origins?
Oh, my grandmother, Irish and English, I think my grandfather as well, so, and then landed in Arkansas, and from there, my dad would have made it over to Oklahoma and worked around Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is where I was born.
You have any fun childhood stories?
It's a big family. I have two brothers and two sisters, and so, you know, you always have someone to play with and almost your own team if you can hook up with some neighborhood kids, and so just a lot of time outdoors exploring or playing kickball, baseball, different things.
Wasn't there, like, some family road trip? I've heard about that.
Yeah, we used to go on summer road trips, and they would be a lot of hours in the car and usually going to national parks. So just a lot of driving to get somewhere where maybe you just spend a few hours. but a lot of games in the car to keep the kids busy. We did Zip, which involves collecting horses, and then I guess there's the alphabet games where you look for signs or you collect different license plates from other states for points.
Out-of-state license plates.
Just for clarification, my dad, Jay Freet's also in the room. So I feel like Aunt Angela had there was some sort of grievance about, like, her getting to be in the cabin while the rest of you were outside and it was raining or something.
Oh, you know what? She might be referring to as a trip to Colorado, and we actually went in a truck that had stake beds, which are kind of like a fence around the back of the truck if you're hauling, like, livestock or something, which she grew up with some livestock and needing to transfer those in the country, but we actually drove that truck to Colorado, and I'm trying to remember who all was in the cab. I think it was my mom, my dad, and maybe both of my grandmother, so we were going to Colorado, to Pikes Peak, and we had a tarp over the roof of this kind of fenced-in truck bed, and it started raining, and the tarp came loose, and we five kids were under the tarp, and my oldest sister, I think, was trying to keep the tarp propped up. She was worried about us smothering under the tarp and things like that. Back in the days of no seat belts.
Yeah. Has Grandpa always been in the house business? Like, what's he been doing all his life?
You know, he graduated high school early, and he studied, I think, shoe repair for a while, so he was a cobbler for a minute, But he also went to a business school and learned accounting principles. And so his job mainly has been in accounting and vice president for a company in Tulsa that made airplane parts. Prior to that, he worked in the early computer age when accounting was starting to shift over to computers, and the computers would have filled like a warehouse and would have been kept at a super low temperature somewhere in the 60s because they heated up so. And but along the way, as a sidebar, he's always, he and my mother had bought and sold properties. So the first house I lived in was actually under construction when I was born, and we were living out in the country in a small trailer. But it got finished up, I think, pretty, you know, within a year of my birth, and that would have been a house that my dad built from scratch. And so there was a lot of just buying land and selling land at a for a profit for, you know, over 50 years when he was with my mom, and building houses along the way or updating them and remodeling them.
And was my grandma a stay-at-home mom, or did she do anything?
She actually did a little bit of bookkeeping herself. She did some for the church, and she also worked for a company in Tulsa full-time for a while after the kids were starting to move into the high school and college phase. But for the most part, yeah, just a homemaker. But a nice quote about my mother is that she lived every day with purpose. So she was always keeping the house neat, fixing things that were within her abilities, doing touch-ups and repaints and things like that.
And I know you've done a lot in your life. You want to go through all of your various jobs?
Sure. You know, when I first graduated high school, I was working for a while selling clothes, and then was a little young to actually move up in that field, so I decided to go to college. Studied kind of unknown for a while, but fell into the art department and graduated with a degree in that. Then needed a job. I worked for a while just briefly in a factory to kind of understand the working man's lifetime employment in that kind of industry, but I was quickly hired into the theater department at Oklahoma State University, and was doing some dyeing and painting in that that venue, but also managing the shop and teaching primarily actors who needed a technical class to build costumes for the theater. And that led into a career that probably spanned over 17 years, and ultimately led me to San Diego and the Old Globe Theater and the various theaters here, and also did some work in film and commercials. Let's see. Then I had William, my son. So I kind of took a break from costuming, not really my first love, also, you know, more interested in art and fine arts. And so when he was little, I started painting again, and have now sold or placed paintings over 100 across the country and in different countries, Germany and Sweden. So that went on for a while. And then when William started middle school, because I would have been kind of a stay-at-home mom, but always teaching a little bit around the edges as well. Then I found another job teaching on a sports fishing vessel that we teach San Diego County kids about the wonders of the San Diego Bay. We drop a net, pull in some animals, and examine them, discuss them, see what we have. So that's been going on, going into my sixth season on that. And now teach for Sally Ride Junior Academy, a summer program that involves STEAM and some library classes, too.
STEAM is in the acronym.
Yes.
And then, like, what have your brothers and sisters been doing?
Let's see, my oldest sister is a CPA, and
can you mention her name?
Angela Blackard-Swift. She's a CPA, so she is also a trustee of some different accounts, works some in finance. I'm getting ready to retire, though, so she's been at that a while. My next sibling that's had a lifetime career would be my sister Dawn, who's a year apart from me, sometimes referred to as my twin. She was an air traffic controller, got hired when Reagan fired some of the air traffic controllers trained, and got hired and did her time and retired now. Grandmother to 6 grandkids. My younger brother spent some time in the Navy and is a nuclear engineer in Russellville, Arkansas. I have one more brother, Hurley, who actually is plagued with some schizoaffective disorder, which is a type of mental illness, but due to the strong family support, he's very healthy and has a very wonderful and productive life.
Yeah. What did you do before he came out here?
No, he has, since he has a disability, he does earn some, you know, money back from the government, just a small amount really, SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance that he would have paid into as a young man. He didn't do a lot prior to him recently moving to San Diego about 2.5 years ago. But he at one point was actually invited to speak in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the National Alliance of Mentally Ill and was hired by the state of Oklahoma to be a counselor to other people with troubles like his. However, he found that just a little too stressful because a lot of those people would turn back to drugs or alcohol, substance abuse, or refuse to take their medication, and he just found it very stressful that they couldn't lead a healthy and productive life, so he was unable to continue working in that venue. But here in San Diego, he's a major recycler. He restores bicycles and resells them. He actually broken wheels, rims from bikes. He cuts off the spokes to recycle the aluminum and takes those down to a recycling area. And he also recycles bottles and cans.
So I'm guessing eventually this recording's probably going to get shown or listened to by future Blackguards and Freaks, you know, just maybe an introduction to all of the Thanksgiving stuff. Is there any parting words you want to say to future generations?
always stress the importance of family and keeping connections with your family, and really sharing some fun and good times together, and as well as banding together in the more difficult times and being supportive of one another with your troubles that are bound to crop up in life.
All right.
Well, thanks for your questions.
Yeah, and this is gonna go to the Library of Congress, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, goodbye.
Bye.